if you can't measure it, you can't fix it. So if you really care about customer satisfaction, I think you need mechanisms to measure customer satisfaction. So you have good data, accurate data, and across kind of the spectrum.
Don't be afraid of people taking advantage of you, or don't be afraid that a discount is too big, or that, you know, it's like, just kind of go for it. And those over the top things work out in the end. And those are the things that really impress customers.
That was Derek Brown, founder and CEO of Pronto Marketing, together with Corey Brown, co-founder and CEO of SimpleSat. Customer Satisfaction Project.
A place where we explore how business leaders are pushing the boundaries,
providing exceptional customer service,
growing high-performing support teams, and having a blast along the way.
Together with SimpleSat co-founder and CEO, Corey Brown.
Join with our head of marketing,
Nash Maiwala. Let's get right to it.
We'll start at Microsoft. Otherwise, it's a long, long story. Prior to that, I was in a variety of companies and have owned my own businesses. And I've always been enthusiastic about small business. So joining Microsoft as a big company was a real change for me, but an exciting experience. I worked at Microsoft for a total of about 13 years. The last 3 years in Microsoft Thailand. Prior to coming to Thailand, I was responsible for a server product called Windows Small Business Server, which was a hugely popular server. I knew the channel of that server really well, the small business focused IT professionals, or sometimes they're called VARs. Today, many of them are called managed service providers. I was familiar with them. I had spoken around the world, had gone to their user groups. I had partner advisory councils and such. So I was at Microsoft Thailand and I had a little bit, you know, the normal midlife crisis. I was thinking, what do I really want to do? I was happy in Thailand, but it was time to leave Microsoft Thailand. I decided to stay in Thailand and start a business. And I reflected back on these Microsoft channel partners that I had worked with, these IT consultants. And one of the themes that always kind of they'd talk to me about is their frustration in doing marketing. Even if Microsoft would provide marketing materials, they didn't have the time to do it. They were busy. They were taking care of their customers. And ultimately, they were IT guys. They were geeks, not marketing people. And they were kind of frustrated with that part of the business. So I thought, we could have something like a service that we could take care of this for them in the same way that they take care of IT for small businesses. You know, it's most small businesses don't have internal IT resources and they want to have someone help them out. So I started the business with Corey and kind of incubated it for a while, and we launched it in the fall of 2008. Then what was a pretty big event in the IT consultant world, which was SMB Nation in Seattle. We went there and started the business. And our focus was always not to just be like a technical company building websites, but to be a service company and to take care of our customers and kind of an all-you-can-eat sort of focus. So we really started at day one, like, how do we deliver a great service? And people would pay us on a subscription basis as opposed to just doing a project and dropping it. Because again, I've seen that kind of experience in Microsoft. It was crazy. You know, I'd spend like $100,000 developing great marketing stuff that our partners could leverage. And they don't have the time. They didn't have the resources to edit the native files. They didn't know what to do with them. So I really wanted to be this service where we just did it for them and took care of them. Things really took off from there. It was exciting.
So you said something about your midlife crisis and stuff.
Yeah, let's dig into that.
Ever since I was a teenager, I've traveled a lot. And my jobs at various jobs at Microsoft were international and did a lot of international travel there. So I'd kind of had this feeling for years and years that I would be happy to be an expat somewhere. I enjoyed being overseas in different cultures. So I think that was me just thinking, gosh, you know, I'm over here in Thailand. This is a great opportunity for me to do something different in my life. Happy here. So it wasn't too bad of a crisis. It was a kind of a rethinking what I want to do. I actually worked with a great executive coach during that time, kind of when I was still at Microsoft, like kind of what do I want to do? There was great opportunity for me back in the US at Microsoft. So yeah, it was a good time to kind of reassess what's really important to me. I have my roots in owning and running small businesses. And the more I thought about it, I said, that's really what I love doing. And I want to get back to kind of having that small business experience. You know, we've grown. Today, Pronto is, you know, over 100 people, but I still think of it as a small family business in many ways.
Also, Pronto started, or it birthed from the desire of helping people. Can you tell me more about this and the philosophy of Pronto?
Yeah, we started with, and it still is the mainstay of our business, this sort of all-you-can-eat model. You just pay us every month, and whatever you need on your website and some related things like newsletters, you just ask and we'll do it. And naturally, we didn't quite know how that was going to work out. So there was some trial along the way, like how much service did people need? What kind of things did they need? What kind of staff would we need? But overall, it worked out well. I would always tell my team, don't worry if somebody's asking for a lot. You know, say, if you have an all-you-can-eat food buffet, there's some football players that come in to eat and they eat a lot. And there's some grandmothers that come in and they don't eat very much at all. So don't worry about it. It'll even out. And I think we learned that. And also businesses go through cycles. Someone will get very busy with wanting to update their website and make changes. And then they'll go get busy with their business and you won't hear from them for a time. So also that we learned there was kind of a cycle. But the idea was just to make it like as frictionless as possible. So when you just need something, you just ask us and we do it. I think that was really important because many small businesses were just getting a sort of get paying money for a website and then they have it dropped in their lap and they're expected to take care of it. And they don't have the time, the knowledge, you know, to do it.
It sounds to me like the service that you want to offer is a sense of relief, peace of mind, and this like message that we're here for you, whatever it takes and whatever you need.
Yeah, definitely. You wanted them to just go, think of us as an extension of your team. And when you need something, we're there. Just, you know, ask us and we'll take care of it. For a long time, we only did customers in this vertical of MSPs or IT consultants. Today, it's probably about 60% of our business, so 850 or 900 various forms of IT service providers in our customer base.
Before we continue, let's take a quick break with a word from our sponsor. You know what they say about what gets measured gets managed, right? But are you actually getting the right information to measure? Are you getting to the pulse of your customer satisfaction with your service? Are you finding it hard to get your customers to tell you what they really feel about your company? Enter SimpleSat, the customer feedback system that works. Delight your customers into leaving you an accurate feedback, catch them at the right place and at the right time, and get an accurate feedback loop. Measure, manage, then elevate your customers' experience so they're never not satisfied. To learn more, check out SimpleSat.io to get your free 14-day trial. Again, that's SimpleSat.io. Corey, I'm curious, like, what was your role when you and Derek were starting the business and having this idea that we want to help MSPs, we want to be there for them, we want to serve them? What was your role in that process in really solidifying the core of your business or the ethos of the company that you want to be there for them? Like, what is the extent of your philosophy in terms of customer service? We'll start with that.
The main way that we divided our roles is that Derek was on the sales and business development side of things. So Derek was bringing in customers. And then once they signed up, it was up to me to get their website live and take care of them, basically. And we first started out, which is now even kind of seems like a ridiculous pricing model, which was you don't pay until your website goes live. And after that, you start paying. The price then was $200 a month. So, but it was this kind of insane pricing where we would have people sign up and we'd start working on their website. And sometimes it takes 3 to 6 or even 8 weeks. And at the end of it, they'd say, you know what? Never mind. We're not going to use you. And we made no money. So we lost a lot of money for those cases. It was this pricing that and model that was, you know, a little disruptive and very attractive. And that was helping us get a lot of new customers in the door. And for me, this is how I really learned how important it was to deliver great service and to, you know, put your all into every project, because every project that didn't go live, we didn't make money. And I'd have to just ask myself, you know, what could I have done better? Or what could our team have done better to have had them stay? And I think that model forced us to become a great service company rather than charging a large upfront fee. We already got our money. And you know, it's less important to keep delivering on that service.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think like that's quite a scary business model, but also it keeps you on your toes, right? It actually sharpens you as a business, as a company, and also making sure that you actually deliver.
Right.
One of the things we did from the very beginning and to this day is on our subscription services, we don't have any contracts. So you can cancel anytime you want to cancel. And I think that was important too, that sense that we don't have somebody locked in. We have to take care of them each and every month. Every transaction you have to be thinking about, because you're just always kind of one step away of somebody going, oh, well, I'm not happy. I'm just going to cancel. And boy, both Corey and I felt that those first few cancellations are just so painful. It's like, oh, you don't love me. But, you know, you just learn, like you really have to hustle and you have to work to keep your customers. And I think that's, you know, I like that approach. And it's just stayed with our culture to this day. You know, some staff will say, oh, you know, they kind of want to lock people in. And there are some projects that, you know, have 90-day commitments or something now. But for the most part, we want to earn everybody's business every day.
And now with this philosophy or this kind of way of thinking, how were you able to actually like build this culture in your team? And how is it going now with Pronto?
I would say one thing that was really important to us in the beginning was getting a good suite of tools. I remember probably we were about 6 or 8 months in, Corey might remember, but we had one customer, John, who was really good. He gave us a lot of tough love. He wanted the best. He was very demanding, but he was coaching also. He was the one who got us on or pushed us to get on Zendesk, which was probably, this was 2009, which is pretty early for Zendesk. Because he's like, you guys got to get organized here. We were just different documents and things like that. So I think that was really important. Corey and I are naturally structured guys who like that kind of process organization. So we got real natural to it. But I think that was an important step. You go, okay, now we have a platform. Now we have data. Now we can measure ourselves. Now we can be organized. Now we can see how long it took to, you know, resolve a ticket. And we layered different kinds of tools on top of that over the years. But I think that was an important step of being able, you have a vision, but you need the tools and you need the mechanisms to actually be able to manage it in a profitable and a consistent way and to measure your performance. So I think there was a maturation from gung-ho, we'll take care of you, to let's build a great company with the right kind of tools to do that.
With that, when Pronto was just starting, did you have an experience where you had a very difficult customer who was so hard to please? How did you turn that around and actually make them the best customer you ever had?
I would say first, I'm not afraid if I feel like somebody's really not a fit for us to say that. And sometimes that's an important, you know, is a coming to Jesus moment where you need to say, you know, I really want your business. We really want to make you happy, but your expectations of what we can do are not based on the service we deliver, or you know what I mean? Or your need is not something we can do today. So I would say that's the first thing is you need to know when you're a good fit and when you're not. For us, for these small IT service providers, you know, it's a 98% whatever good fit. So it's not like it was a huge issue. So that, I think that step, when you really feel like a conflict with a client, it is good to step back just a little bit and go, is this a good fit for us? If you think it should be a good fit, sometimes you have to look at yourself and it's like, wow, we really didn't do as good a job as we should have done. There's some things we need to learn. And I think that's an honest conversation you can have with the customer. You know, I think you can say, I'm sorry things went wrong. And here's our postmortem on what we did. Here's what we've learned. Here's what we're going to change in our process to see that it doesn't happen again. I think a level of transparency can be really important. Also taking the time to just listen to the customer, like maybe there's just something you didn't really, well, obviously there were lots of things that came up in the early years that just someone asking and complaining makes you think, gosh, I didn't really realize we were going to need to do that. Or I didn't realize they were going to have that need, or they were going to ask like this, or there was this kind of deadline. So there was a lot of kind of tuning the service to be right. And also in different kind of ways, you know, one example would be we have for hundreds and hundreds of our clients, we send out a monthly newsletter and we put together the content and organize it. And we have their list and we send it out. In the beginning, we'd ask everyone for permission before we would send their newsletter. But what happened was, is a lot of these guys and business owners are really busy, and they would never get around to giving us permission, and their newsletter would never go out. So we learned, you know, this is maybe kind of a unservice in a way, but, you know, we learned that some people you need to go, hey, should we just send this out to you every month automatically? Like, we'll send you a draft, but if we don't hear from you in 7 days, we're going to send it. You know, the vast majority of our customers were like, that's great. Some months I have time to read it. Sometimes I'm really busy, but now I know it's going to happen every month. So I think it's also sometimes when do you need to sort of help the customer get out of your way a little bit so you can take care of them. So it's a combination of stuff, but you know, you just got to listen. You have to communicate. You got to be honest. You got to be transparent. Every business has problems. I mean, every small business owner has customers complaining. So I think if you're sincere and honest with someone, you know, they've been in your shoes and that, you know, it's okay to complain. It's okay to ask for more. It doesn't hurt my feelings.
You mentioned a couple of things that I wrote down. Listen, communicate, be transparent, be honest, and be sincere. That would be easy to like implement because you and Corey were working together. So you already have this, or your understanding is aligned in terms of how you guys do business and how you deliver customer service. Was it challenging for you to ensure that this way of thinking actually translate in every single person that you add in the Pronto team? As the team grows, did this way of thinking this culture got watered down? What did the process look like?
That's always a challenge, bringing people in and how they might approach service. I think one of the really deep things that you need to build into a service culture is a kind of honesty about what happened. So when something goes wrong, you know, we're not finger pointing. We're not trying to make somebody feel bad. You know, when I ask, hey, this customer has a complaint, we did something wrong, what happened? I'm not looking for a victim. I'm just looking for us as adults to have an honest assessment of what happened and see what we could do to fix it. And I think it's really important from management down that your people feel safe. And they look around, they go, whoa, this guy next to me just had a kind of a big screw up and nobody was mean to him. Nobody yelled at him. Nobody threatened his job. But people were really clear that was a mistake and we don't do that. Is it a training issue? Is it a tool issue? Is it a process issue? Like, let's just get to the bottom of what happened here. And I think once people get sort of comfortable, then when you start to act, like for years and years and years, every complaint or every ticket that was rated not high satisfaction came directly to Corey and I. And I directly would send out an email to the team like, what happened? I wasn't involved in every transaction. And the team just got used to the fact that I'm going to ask. I don't want anybody to BS me. Just tell me what happened, and then we'll work together to get the customer happy. Maybe I need to have a talk to the customer. Maybe we need to offer a little bit of a refund or discount. Maybe an apology is all they want. Just fix it and get it done right. We'll work as a team to get the customer happy, and then we'll take the learnings we can learn. And I just think you need to get that really deep in the culture so people aren't afraid to learn and honest to admit what happened and be transparent with the customer. It's pretty rare that you can't be transparent. I mean, I don't throw my people under the bus, but you might say, thanks for pointing it out. We realized we have a training issue or whatever. I think if you communicate, people are like, okay, thanks. Try not to do that again.
I like what you said when you said make people feel safe. Make people feel safe so that they can be honest with you. Because like, I guess in some work cultures, even if they want to be honest, but they're also like scared of what will be the repercussions of my honesty.
I think a little bit, you know, there's in Thai culture and maybe some Asian cultures, especially like people just want to be considerate about their coworkers' feelings. You know what I mean? And they might be afraid to say, well, actually, Nash screwed up. And they're kind of afraid to say it because they don't want to hurt their relationship with you. And I think, again, you just got to build that in the culture. It's okay. If you tell Nash that she screwed up, she's not going to take it personal like you're attacking her. She just understands that you've been here longer and you saw what she did wrong and you're going to train her and you're not going to be her adversary. You're going to be her buddy and helping her get on track. So I think it's a really, I mean, both a company culture thing, but you do have to appreciate the deeper national and culture you're in.
The idea for SimpleSat has just had always been in our minds for years because at Pronto, how of us were trying to create better service. And I was always frustrated with how, you know, Zendesk's binary system, just good, bad ratings were consistently over 90%. But I knew that we weren't perfect. So I wanted more negative feedback, basically, for us to use as experiences for us to learn and opportunities for us to impress a client by coming back and you know, fixing a problem or an issue that they had. Two things driving the idea to start SimpleSat or start a spinoff. One would be boredom. And the second one would be, at the time I was managing all of our R&D team, a team of over 10 developers that were focused all on building Pronto's systems, building and maintaining those things. And the more that I worked on being basically a product manager for that team, I realized how much value developers can have. And, you know, development might be the field where it's like the most variable value that you can add. Developers, of course, can create billion-dollar companies now. So it was just kind of this thing always in my mind, how do we create even more value with this team? And as SaaS products and software is a great way that you can scale up with a small team, and how, of course, developers are critical to that.
With you, Corey, like when you started SimpleSat coming from Pronto, I'm curious about like the transition or that point where you realize that it's about time for you to actually start something, because SimpleSat is a spinoff of Pronto. So what was that point where you realized?
For a while at Pronto, I was leading our marketing teams. And on the marketing team, we were doing quarterly NPS surveys. And that was just kind of a mess of how to organize the list and, you know, get all that going. And the CSAT data wasn't connected to the NPS data, and adding testimonials and stuff to a website, that was this other project. So the idea was just like, how do we get all of this combined and working together? And I guess the last thing would be, we were using this employee engagement tool called Office Vibe, and they have really cute and fun interactive surveys. And that was kind of the light bulb for us to say, like, surveys don't have to be boring. They can be fun and engaging, even if it's in a business setting. And it's more fun, but it also helps improve response rates and the quality of responses, which is really important. So all those things combined is how to start building SimpleSat. And we built it for Pronto as a customer. So, you know, Pronto's customer zero, basically. And then we started sharing it with Pronto's customers and other small businesses. And that kind of took off from there. We realized how many small businesses had the same need that Pronto had.
So this started as like you built it for Pronto, and then eventually you just like separated SimpleSat from Pronto and trying to make it as its own entity.
Right. Yeah. And we're still kind of in that process separating. Maybe we're like in the teenage phase now. We're growing up, but still under Pronto's umbrella, which is we're very thankful for.
I would say too, that kind of the insights that went into SimpleSat, I mean, we're very data-driven company and very SaaS app focused. So any part of our business, whether it's customer service with still Zendesk after all these years, or something like human resources, Corey mentioned Office Vibe, but you know, we have a stack there of smart recruiters, Bamboo HR, small improvements in Office Vibe. We've just built our company on SaaS app stacks and are very aware how they should work, how they should integrate together. We're a huge user of Tableau, which is a data platform for bringing your data from different systems together and visualizations and dashboards. So I think a lot of that really has helped us with SimpleSat, because, I mean, I don't know, we'd use across the company dozens of SaaS apps, and we think about how they integrate, how they work, what the user experience should be like, what frustrates us with apps, you know, what do we like? I think that has been really important, you know, to sort of create what we thought was going to be a great SaaS app experience and give you the business the kind of data and dashboards and information you need to make decisions, make things better.
What does customer satisfaction mean to you?
There's kind of two buckets that come to mind. One is customer satisfaction drives your business success and drives your revenue and drives your profits, right? And it's really hard to get a customer, sign them up, onboard them, build their website. There's a huge customer acquisition cost, both from a marketing perspective, a huge, but there's a significant customer acquisition cost from the marketing side of things through the onboarding to getting websites live to getting a customer in a good groove. And when you lose a customer, that's like a big loss. And you have to go start over with someone else. Just you have a cancellation, you're minus one for the month. Now you've got to get two if you're going to grow. It's a business fundamental. The higher satisfaction drives your business success. I think on a more personal, emotional level, and for our team, it's no fun to be yelled at by a customer. It's no, you know, even today, if I get a customer who's upset or complaining, you know what it's like. You just open the email and you're just kind of first thing is like, oh, Yeah, I got to dig into this. So I think to the extent you deliver great service and you have happy customers, it makes for a happier team. Nobody wants to be complained at, even when it's their fault. So I think in terms of creating like kind of a happier culture that ultimately is happier customers, you kind of want to get that little virtuous circle going around. You know, if you take care of customers, they're happy. And guess what? They're more fun to work with. And, you know, if they're more fun to work with, actually, you probably end up going the extra mile and making them happier. You know what I mean? So I do think there's a kind of an emotional thing that's actually really good that just makes work better for everyone. So for me, it's a balance of bottom line and emotional happiness.
I've always just been kind of fascinated by customer satisfaction and kind of just overdoing it and servicing the hell out of your customers and kind of just the wow and the enjoyment that that brings everybody. And I love experiencing great service myself. And this can be anywhere from five-star hotels to, I remember once I was in Burma and I was at this bar. We had our phones and wallets on the table and they would keep bringing these small plates and put your phone on a plate. And then we were just kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? And then I would take my phone and put it off the plate and I would watch them, like 1 minute later, they'd come over and put the phone back on the plate. You know, stuff like that, where it's like, you could be a five-star hotel or you could be this kind of funky little bar in Burma, but it's this focus on just kind of doing these things that delight customers. And when it happens to you, you know how it feels. And when you do it to someone else, you know how it makes them feel. And that kind of gets me going, kind of the fun thing about that.
What are you guys doing right in terms of customer service? And what are the things that you think you still need to improve on?
So the things that I think we're doing right, we're still small enough to really have a natural focus on our customers. And almost everyone in the company is touching a customer in some way, whether through fixing bugs and product development or communicating with them on the support side or sales side. So that's good. And that's our advantage, that we're still small and we can have that naturally happen. Our product roadmap, I'm still happy about that. Again, that's just about being a small company that we can listen to customers and be agile. And we don't have a lot of legacy code or commitments to tie us down. So we can continually just be launching features that we know are valuable and the most important things to be building. A challenge, I can kind of see we're getting to a point where it's important that we keep focusing on, you know, our SimpleSat values and our kind of three keywords that keep running. The theme is simple, useful, and fun. And we try to ingrain this in everything we're doing, whether it's our product or documentation or service or sales or anything. And we're noticing some things happening now about, you know, creating new marketing materials or introducing new pricing or a new feature that someone has, of us remembering, like, what would SimpleSat do? What is simple, useful, and fun? It's not always natural. And it seems that simple is kind of natural or whatever, but it's actually really difficult and complex to distill complex ideas or projects or whatever down to a simple idea, or to remind yourself that let's all not take ourselves too seriously. Let's have some fun here. It's kind of working on how do we really get that into our culture. And sometimes I'm simple, useful, and fun, and sometimes I'm not. It's not about what would Corey do, it's what would SimpleSat do.
We started with this all-you-can-eat model, one size fits everyone. We had one price plan and for everyone. And especially as online marketing has matured and our customers matured, and we added different marketing services in addition to that core website program. But we really realized over the last year that that didn't work anymore. That sort of my initial analogy, that sometimes, you know, the offensive lineman from the football team is going to come in to eat and the little old grandmother's going to come in to eat. That kind of got wider and wider and wider, where there were some people who really just need hosting and almost never ask us to do anything. And there are other people who are literally asking every day. And so I think we were probably a little slow to recognize that, to maybe listen to some frustrations from the team, which, you know, it's wonderful when your staff says, this customer can't be profitable. We're doing so much work for $259 a month. And I would be like, I would tell my same buffet story, but eventually I realized, hey, it's really true. And there are some customers that want to pay us $500 or $700 or $1,000 a month, that they need a dedicated account manager, they need a super high level service, and they're happy to pay for it. And there are other customers who are feeling like, I'm not really getting value for $270 a month, you know, or $259 a month. That's right, they should be paying like $99 a month. And so it's really hard when you've been wedded to a successful business model to wake up one day and go, you know, the world has changed. Our customer expectations has changed. We're in that evolution now. And that's a learning experience, of course. You overshoot, you undershoot, you're kind of tuning that. But that realization that a one-size-fits-all wasn't the approach. Some people need a highly hands-on, customized experience, and they're willing to pay a lot more for it. And there's some people who really do appreciate a quick website, if you could just host it, and periodically we'll do updates and we'll pay you. So that's kind of been both a challenge as we struggled with a successful business model. And then there's a lot of just internal things. Okay, like if we're going to charge people a lot more, we better deliver great service on that. Like we better keep our promise. And bringing up skill levels in the team, bringing up communication, bringing up expectations. That's been a fun challenge, but certainly we're in the middle of that. And I guess it was kind of a crazy year to be in the middle of that.
Podcast is produced by PodcastMate. PodcastMate produces podcasts for iconic brands and market leaders. PodcastMate makes your podcast production an easy breezy journey. They do the heavy lifting for you, so you don't have to. All you gotta do is press record. Talk about peace of mind and relief. Check them out at PodcastMate.co. Again, that's PodcastMate.co. Where can people find you? Tell us more about Pronto and invite them to check out Pronto.
Yeah, well, you can check out Pronto at prontomarketing.com. All of our service offerings are there. Our target customers, small, medium business, both the IT consultant MSPs, as well as a full range, especially a lot of business and professional services and that sort of thing. So any kind of small business or professional practice, we take care of you. And there's great examples in our websites across the broad range of industries and segments.
And Corey with SimpleSat?
SimpleSat.io. Search us, live chat. We're there. Almost 24-hour chat, service, sales. Anybody who uses an online service desk to provide service to their customers. So SimpleSat works with Zendesk and Autotask and ConnectWise, Freshdesk, all of these Salesforce, all of these tools, basically where you can insert a survey in an email notification or a PDF invoice or an email signature or whatever to start giving your customers a way to let them know how they feel just right at the right moment.
Thanks for listening to the Customer Satisfaction Project. We hope that this episode has given you new insights and introduced fresh perspectives in looking at customer service. If you find this helpful, I'm sure your friend will too. Share this with your friends. Don't keep us a secret. And don't forget to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening to this. The Customer Satisfaction Project is hosted by Nash Maiwala and Corey Brown. This podcast is brought to you by SimpleSat, the customer feedback system that works. Check them out at SimpleSat.io to get your 14-day free trial. This show is produced by PodcastMate, producing podcasts for iconic brands and market leaders. Head on over to PodcastMate.co to start your own podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you on the next episode.